Would you open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1? In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Will you now turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the Word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Now would you turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Him, and for His name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. New chapters, Acts, written by Luke, to somebody we don't know, Theophilus. Acts chapter 1, talking about a former work, Luke, the Gospel of Luke, also written to somebody we don't know, a man named Theophilus. That word broken down in Greek means friend of God. Is there anybody here who could say, I am the friend of God? Is there anybody here who could sing with conviction, I am the friend of God? Oh, somebody ought to write a song. Beloved of God, Luke has written a gospel, the story of Jesus, His birth by a virgin, His announcement from John the Baptist, His temptation in the wilderness. In the book of Acts, Luke goes on to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and 40 days of revelation and waiting for the promised Holy Spirit that Jesus spoke of before. And then finally today, in this way of introduction, we looked at the very beginning, the new chapter of a letter that Paul wrote to an existing church in Rome. And Paul addresses, O you who are beloved of God, you who are holy saints of God, grace and peace to you from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The title of our message today and for the next 3 years, give or take a year, is line by line, verse by verse. Three books. Acts. And from my vantage point, what's happening now? Luke, from this time and place, looking back to what Jesus did and taught during 3 years of ministry among us. Paul, writing to the Romans, looking ahead into the future. Now you might say, I'm a 21st century Christian. All of it is past tense for me. But not for the purpose of gathering as the church on these Sunday mornings for the next 3 years, give or take a year. I wonder if I could have a little help here. Is there any monitors in this system? If so, could you just cut them off completely? Then maybe turn the volume down just a little bit so I might yell without blasting anybody's eardrums. Just a little bit. Not that I need to yell because I'm angry about anything, but I'm called to make a joyful noise. I am called to play my instrument skillfully before the Lord. I am called to speak truth through the personality God has given me. I'm nearly 50. This year, July 14th, I get to enter the year of Jubilee, a 50th year. Whew! I'm glad to be alive at the age of 49, looking on to 50, hoping I've got another 25 years of ministry ahead of me. Looking back to 25 years that is nearing completion, wanting to see my effort quadrupled, wanting to see the results of the next 25 years be four times the offering that has been given to God through my personality up to this point. And so I can't see anything better as a man called to preach God's Word than to go line by line, verse by verse, in three books of the New Testament at the same time, considering for some group of people, the original recipient, Theophilus, in a time and a place called now. Looking back to that first record that Luke had put together called Then. Looking forward to what Paul wanted to do by writing to the book at Rome, wanting to stop in it on his way to Spain. Looking toward the future of the mission. When my dad married Sandy, I gained a stepmom. And with Sandy came a whole new form of experiential learning, for she had been a teacher. She exposed her new stepkids to experiences that they had not yet known before. Oh, I had watched circus acts on Ed Sullivan. Anybody ever hear of that old guy, Ed Sullivan? Some of you never heard of him, I realize that. But he had a variety show, and sometimes you could see plate spinners, lion tamers, all sorts of dog and pony acts, elephants, from time to time. But Sandy, My dad's wife, my stepmom, was new to the family and she was exposing us to something new. And we had a choice. We could either accept her and what she brought to the table, or we could reject her and miss out completely. This was one of those days that I chose to attend, to pay attention, to receive from her the dish that she would prepare and bring to the table, called family. We went to the Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus. Got in the car and drove from Coldwater to Detroit. And there was a big circus tent. And there were bleachers all around gathered in this big room and lights and PA system and three rings in front of us. I had never seen anything like that. I had never experienced anything like that. Right in the midst of it, sitting on the bleacher seats, there was activity going on in all three of the rings simultaneously. And for a little boy with wide eyes and an imagination, it was an awesome sight to behold. Possibly too much to comprehend. And so we were introduced to a character called the Ringmaster. And the Ringmaster would draw our attention to the activity going on in one of those rings of activity. And occasionally would draw our attention to somebody climbing up a rope ladder and tell us something about that person's life and the death-defying act, which was just about to be performed. Use whatever threefold analogy you would choose to use. If you're a techie with a video editing console in front of you, you might want to think about three simultaneous digital records of visual and audio images before you. And you will pick and choose what to attend to. And sometimes you see all three at once. But this old preacher, thinking about that day under the big top, I would like to draw your attention to this ring over here. This ring there's a man seated on a big stone by the side of a river, with a people dressed in first century clothing gathered around him, and he is reading a letter written by Luke to Theophilus. That letter is called Acts. In your Bible, you can just turn and look at it. What's he saying? In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up from heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And the ringmaster steps in at this point and draws your attention way over here. There's a man seated at a table with a writing utensil in his hand. And a man standing over him, pacing somewhat. gesturing with his hands and his arms, looking upward, saying these words to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Read that back to me, Tertius. Imagine with me, Tertius, the man with the writing utensil in his hand, looking at the papyrus upon which he has just written, reading for Paul what he has just transcribed. Romans 1, verse 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it's just words on a page. It's just sitting in the bleachers, listening to some ringmaster draw your attention to this side or this side, flip over to this page, to this chapter. Without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you can neither receive grace and peace from another Christian, nor can you extend grace and peace. But Paul was writing to the church gathered in Rome, looking ahead into the future, a hopeful mission trip to Spain that the church at Rome might help him get there. And Paul says, oh, you in Rome who are beloved of God, chosen to be saints, grace how many of you feel like you've got the textbook definition? You could answer and get a gold star today if somebody asked you to describe grace, give a definition of grace. Would the word unmerited be in your definition? Would favor be there? For some, they say, yeah, I already know the stock answer. Unmerited favor. I didn't do anything to deserve it. It was a free gift of God. Grace. That's the message that Bell Road will continue to share. This is a seasoned church. The gospel has been preached forth from this pulpit, whether it was here on this piece of land or prior to the building of this sanctuary. People prayed that God's word would go forth through this church that was planted in this part of California, that grace might be extended. Law. Without grace brings only death. As the new pastor, as the stepdad, if you will, coming to the family, I bring you who I am. I bring you my experiences. I bring to you my personality to the table. And maybe some of what you see, some of what you hear, some of what I teach, some of what I try to give, it might be overwhelming. It might be too much for eyes to fully grasp or for ears to fully hear. It certainly is from this point, looking out upon you, there is no way that I can fully comprehend what's happening in the center ring here and what happened in the past and what is beholding for you in the future, your hopes, your dreams, your calling. But we come to this wonderfully mysterious chapter in the history of our local church. And we will be saying, turn with me to Acts, to the story when Saul of Tarsus is holding the coats of those who are stoning Stephen, approving of their actions. And as we're over here listening to God speak through the preaching and the teaching, the Sunday school classes, the VBS, whatever it is we do, we have foreknowledge that Saul of Tarsus is going to be transformed. There's going to be a day toward the end of his third missionary journey when he's dictating to a man named Tertius to write a letter to the church at Rome because there's a mission trip ahead. It's too much for us to be in both places at one time, and yet that's what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to trust the Holy Spirit to draw our attention to certain personalities, to give us some background information. He might use me to be His mouthpiece. He might use you. I have a question to ask today. Who is Theophilus? Is Theophilus the guy sitting on the stone over here reading the letter? Maybe. But he might be the next generation of the early church reading the letter, because that letter was preserved throughout all the centuries since Luke wrote it down. It was preserved, and we read it today, and we accept it as God's word for us. It was good for Theophilus. What was Acts written to do? To remind Theophilus about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day He was taken up to heaven. That Jesus had left instructions. And in the present day, God had moved through Peter and those in Jerusalem, and then through Paul, to take the gospel to the Gentiles, to the very ends of the earth. We've been to the past. We've been to the future. But what happens right here, right now, right here in Center Ring? Though it was 2,000 years ago, it's very important for us to keep the story of Jesus, the Christ, His 3 years of public ministry, His teaching back then, the 3 years of His teaching. It's very important for us to keep it center stage, in the center ring, whatever you want to call it, online. The teaching of Jesus needs to be central in all we teach, all we do. Those 3 years of ministry can be fast-forwarded, rewind, paused, contemplated, thought about. Songs can be written about them. We can sing those songs, but we must remember the words of Jesus. I can sit and just, as the preacher preaches, I can just kind of envision a scene that I've seen dramatized a number of ways. It's a day when Jesus is central in a crowd. His disciples are gathered, as well as people from all over Jerusalem and Judea and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Many had come because they just wanted to hear what Jesus was teaching. Others had come to touch him, to reach out and touch him for healing. And all that had come that day had been healed. Others were delivered of demons that had possessed them, had destroyed any sense of a normal life up to that point. And Jesus had set them free. All that activity, all that movement had settled down because now Jesus was teaching. From Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus says to me and to you, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. It's important for us to know what Paul did with his life. He wrote the book to Romans, and it really is a masterpiece of Paul's doctrinal teaching. It's good to hear the stories about what happened then and what Jesus said, but Paul was called to be an ambassador to us, most of us in this room. Gentiles. Paul interprets for us through the book of Romans the whole of the Old Testament. Paul gives us his life as example of testimony in speaking to us about the importance of the law. And in recent weeks, we've heard the continual testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that all of the law and the prophets that came before Him were all pointing to Him. And that first and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second one like it, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of that is the summary of every law and every word from the prophet's mouth that has come up to that point. What do we have to offer that hasn't already been shared? Hopefully nothing new. Someone once said, if it's new, it ain't true. Hopefully it's just the good, solid Bible teaching that we have to offer. Then why do it? If it's the same old stuff. Why? Because it's a whole new generation. These are uncertain times that these children of a new generation are growing up in. So what is Paul going to talk about? Oh, 2,000 years ago. What is he going to talk about in Romans chapter 1? As he gets going, as Tertius is busy writing, what is it that Paul is going to talk about? To the Romans, to the church that's trying to face their uncertain times in Rome. Well, he's going to talk about men who have given up trying to follow God's natural law, that which is revealed in nature, and women who have also given up on trying to seek God's best for the human race. Paul's going to deal in Romans chapter 1 about something that might sound strange to your ears. Men having sex with other men. Women having sex with other women. That might sound unnatural to your ears, and to others, it's
What do you mean unnatural? And I've been watching TV and movies for my whole life, and that's the norm. Isn't it interesting that a text 2,000 years old could speak to us at a point of division, at a precipice between the way things once were in America and the new America? Like this guy sitting over here on this big stone, talking to the gathered church, reading a letter that Luke had written. You, Sunday school teacher. You, vacation Bible school leader. You, youth group director. You, choir director. You simply must read that letter. Let the people around ask you, can you read it again? And the people of God, gathered in 21st century clothing, ask one another, what does this mean for us? And again, it's all history lesson, or it's all forecast about what might happen 10 years from now if we don't keep our eyes fixed on the central character in the center ring, if we don't have that personal, living, real relationship with the risen Lord Jesus Christ, then it's just his opinion, her opinion, his picket sign, her rebuttal. We are the people of God. We have gathered in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And he has told me this, and I share it with you. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For in this, all of the law and the prophets are summarized. Luke tells us, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I want to treat people the way I'd like to be treated. If I can remember back in time, if I can go back in time, to when I was a 7-year-old. If I were a 7-year-old again and somehow found myself brought to this place, who is here that could minister to me, a 7-year-old, in a way that I understand? That though the world is condemned already, Jesus loves me and he made a way for me to be saved. Likewise, if I was way off in the future, 80, 90 years old, and somehow God has brought somebody to my hospital bed, to the nursing home where I live, to the house where I'm just shut in and can't get out any longer, I wonder if somebody from Bell Road Baptist Church has a word for me. Already a Christian, have been a Christian many years, but I still need to hear that Jesus loves me. I still need to hear it. My life is still valuable. If it wasn't, God wouldn't have me here. I still need to be connected to the church. I believe my brothers, my sisters, as we go through Acts, Romans, and Luke together, over the next 3 years, give or take a year, we will be the church God wants us to be. Somebody reminded me recently, they did a little video about me and stuck it up on the internet. And they seem to misunderstand what goes on in the church. Because I said that this church is a dead church. It's a ritual church. It's an institutional church. It's pastor-driven. And it's the kind of place where Only one guy speaks, and everybody else is supposed to stay quiet and listen. Wait, I don't think those guys have ever really been in a Baptist church. Because there's a whole lot of listening that needs to go on a part of all of us. And this is true, that when you do come together, everyone should bring something to the table. Somebody should bring a psalm, somebody should bring a hymn, somebody should bring a song or a word of instruction, a prophecy, interpretation. Somebody ought to bring something worthwhile, the very best they have. And I believe that if we do come, we're a new family and we might have brothers and sisters.
We don't acknowledge yet. We don't like them. We bumped into them. And God says, you got to learn how to get along with each other because we're in this thing together. And you might not care for the new preacher. So what? Can you still get something from him? Yeah, you could. And you might not care for the people that show up to picket. And I warned you a couple weeks ago, someone could show up to picket. You know, these people that were picketing last week are very likely your brothers and your sisters. Just maybe a little chip on their shoulder, you know. That could happen just as easily inside the church. Could happen in your Sunday school class to have somebody that doesn't care for the way you teach that class or that you're not pounding on this issue hard enough. But I want to prepare you for the preaching of the gospel when we ruffle the feathers of the status quo. When all we're doing is just sitting together, reading the letter and talking about it and trying to adapt our lives to come in line with God's word. It's liable to get somebody upset with us if they stick a camera and a microphone up in your face and want you to discuss Romans chapter 1 and its application to 21st century America. What are you going to say? I believe God's preparing me to temper my big mouth. But not to keep it shut. There was this old prophet named Jeremiah. Anybody ever hear of him? Once he started complaining to God, it was Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 20. Verse 9, he said, you know, God, every time I start to talk about you, it gets me in trouble. So I'm not going to talk about you anymore. No comments. I'm not going to write letters to the editor. I'm not going to answer my emails. I'm not going to look at the facts, listen to the answering machine messages. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to teach. I'm going to stay away. Because every time I talk about you, I get in trouble. Now, he said something like that. I don't know if it was as loud. I'm pretty sure that's the chapter and verse. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Is that right? But in the little black church, there was a song that went along with the next verse. But just about the time that I'm saying I'm not going to talk in your name anymore, I'm not going to speak up for you anymore, just about that time, I feel some fire in my belly. It's like a fire down in my bones. It's like a fire down in my bones. It's like a fire down in my bones. Like a fire down in my bones. It's that Holy Ghost fire way down in my bones. Maybe that fire burns a little bit differently down in your bones, but fire is fire. And if you're going to keep your mouth shut, if you've got that same spirit that was active in Jeremiah's life, you can't shut up. Maybe your calling isn't to carry picket signs and to yell or shout. Maybe your calling isn't to stand and lead a choir. Maybe your calling is with 6- and 7-year-olds. Or 4th and 5th graders. Or 5th and 6th graders. Maybe it's with women at a shelter. Maybe it's with men at a reentry program. I want to remember this guy over here, Paul. Sometimes he's going to look back to what Luke had written about him. It's published. It was on the internet of Paul's day that there was a guy named Saul of Tarsus standing there with the coats. Paul had actually given his testimony 3 times. It's written about in the book of Acts. And I think we could possibly get there during the next 3 years, give or take a year. But I want to remember, like Paul, where I came from. And I want to have a vision for where I want to go. Whether I'll be able to go or not, I've got to always preface every sentence with, Lord willing, comma, I would like to go to Spain, and I'd like you to help me, Rome. Oh, when you come to the table, everyone bring a song, a hymn, a psalm, a spiritual word of edification, correction, comfort, consolation. We all come and we receive one another and we test to see if these things are true, if these are faithful sayings. Paul's going to be able to say to the church at Philippi, whatever you have learned from me, whatever you have seen in me, heard from me, received from me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul would also say, I didn't come to you with eloquence of speaking, and I didn't preach any other message other than Christ and Him crucified. No matter what happens to me, I've got to keep my eyes on the prize. I've got to keep my eyes on the central character of human history, the center ring, center stage of the Christ, Jesus, and His Word to me. If you've not asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, we're going to invite you to come forward at this time.